If you are doing one that is pre-recorded, don't be afraid to capture questions from somewhere else and drop them in as audio questions into your webinar. If you've had, you know, when you've been doing normal presentations to people, effectively a frequently asked question, then get someone to pre-record it for you and play it back and drop it into the webinar as a question, because the reason that it's a frequently asked question is they're the questions that people frequently ask. And your audience will be sitting out there watching the webinar and thinking those questions. So answer them.
Yep.
You know, that's just part of good sales technique.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of David versus David, the podcast for the small medium business owner, where we cover ground in advertising, marketing, websites, radio ads, all sorts of good stuff to help you overcome the obstacles and issues that may be facing you on a day-to-day basis, maybe give you some illumination and thought-provoking ideas as to how you can get one up on the competition. So from myself, David Pritchard, up here in the UK, and my co-host, David Council, down there in Tasmania, it's hello. Hello, David.
Hey there, gang. How you doing? Yeah, it's good to be back. It's all right for you. You're at the start of your day. I'm sort of having a bit of a lazy stretch here. It's the end of my day, and you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was sitting here looking out on paradise and it was still beautiful and blue outside and it's dark.
It's gone the other way, hasn't it? We're having role reversal.
Yeah, absolutely.
David and I swap climate roles every 6 months. That's the beauty of covering the world north and south. Right. So we've got to make this week's one interesting, David, otherwise you're going to fall asleep on us, is what you're saying?
Yes, that's right. I may nod off mid-sentence.
Every now and again, listener, you're going to shout, "Wake up, David!"
Oh, no, that makes me sound like one of the Wiggles. Wake up, Jeff! Oh, dear me. Okay, hey, David, so today, let's talk about something that's really, I suppose, only a niche when it comes to advertising and marketing, and that's webinars. Now, webinars are really quite a sexy thing to do, because really, they're the electronic version of going out and doing the seminar, hence the name, you know.
Yep.
Once upon a time, you used to have to go and rent a little local hall, or you'd take a room at one of the hotels. And by room, I don't mean a bedroom. I mean one of their conference rooms. And you'd invite people along, probably using a bit of radio advertising to come along to your seminar. Or perhaps you'd, use a database out of the local Rotary Club or Lions Club, or, you know, hook up with one of the local accountants and get them to send their people along. And you'd have to get them all along there. You know, it'd be after work or something like that. No one would really want to be there. And you would have to go into your pitch and try and sell somebody something.
Hey, mate, I've organised that kind of thing in the past, you know. And you're right. It can be flipping hard work to put a lot of effort in up front in a, I might say, back of beyond place, but the kind of place that you sort of turn up and you think, gosh, is this what it's come to? And then you've done all your preparation and you have to put a lot of preparation involved into it. And then like three people turn up, and there's nothing worse than standing in front of a room that can take about 100, 150 people when you've got three people there. So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, webinars, I won't say it's a buzzword, but it's a word that has certainly come into the lexicon of English language over the last, 5 years maybe, but predominantly maybe the last year or two, they've certainly taken off, a bit like podcasting, really. The podcast, a word that didn't exist a few years ago, and now it's all over the place. And in fact, here we are doing one. Webinar, much the same. So what is a webinar then? What's the best way to describe a webinar? You kind of given a physical example there.
Well, really, it's an electronic seminar. It's a seminar that takes place in cyberspace. So just like you would still run your normal seminar, when you do a webinar, you can do it from the safety and comfort of your own office. And you can then invite a group of people that aren't necessarily geographically located.
Yep.
Now, don't get me wrong, you still may want to do your webinar to be geographically located because your product might suit just, you know, that local area, or you might be just focusing on that local area.
By which you mean that if you're a local business specific to, say, Hobart or Sydney or Phoenix, Arizona or London or whatever, that you can pitch it and aim it specifically at that audience, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Or you can have a global audience if that's the way that your market specifically is.
Absolutely. Right. Now, you still have to set a time, though, for it. This is actually one of the things that I really like about it. There's a couple of different ways that you can do a webinar. You can do a webinar that's 100% live, just like a normal seminar.
Mm-hmm.
And in which case, you still have to pick a time, and that time may be after work or before work, or my personal favorite is the one during lunchtime. However, you can also do pre-recorded or evergreen webinars where you record it once and then it plays back over and over again on a scheduled basis. So you might have it run three times a day.
Yep.
And the software will allow people to elect to go and watch any particular one. And it's just like they've still rolled up to the little conference room and they're watching it with a whole group of people. It's just that they too are watching it from the comfort of either their own office or these days you can watch them on your mobile phone or on your tablet. You can be anywhere. You'd be sitting in the doctor's surgery, for all I know, and watching the seminar, as long as you're taking it in and absorbing the message. And that really is the critical thing, because unlike when you've got someone in a seminar, with a webinar, you really have to capture their attention and hold it.
Yeah.
And there are certain pieces of webinar software when you can tell when different members of your audience are doing something else, like they're still listening, but they've gone to look at something else on their screen, or you know, they're reading their emails. And if you are doing it live, that's a valuable thing to know, because you want to know whether you're losing your audience's attention.
Yeah.
You know, as you would if you were standing at the front in a seminar.
Human behavior is such that I think if you have if you're physically stood in front of people, you know, you have an audience sat there in seats, it's unlikely that people will get up and leave partway through a physical seminar because they feel awkward about doing so, don't they? Whereas on a virtual one, such as a webinar, they...
One click and they're gone.
It's a lot more anonymous. It's a lot easier to buy and be gone.
Absolutely. And like you said before, you know, when you're running a physical seminar, you might be running a webinar and people can't tell how many other people are watching that webinar with them. So it may just be only them.
Yeah. But they don't know that.
No, that's right. They don't know that. And it's not as big a problem as you would think, because they've pre-selected themselves in. They're telling you that they are a candidate for whatever it is that you're talking about. So that's, you know, having a webinar where it's you and one other person is just like going to a normal appointment.
Yeah.
So you're not actually wasting your time. You've got someone who is pre-selected in and is ready to go.
Yeah. You may be able to get even more value out of that one person, actually. Obviously, it's not going to be wasted time. I know you can engage with people on webinars where you can ask question and answer sessions or invite questions as you're going along with it. You know, is there anything anybody would like to know about that, or ask for suggestions on the next stage or whatever, you know, maybe get a little bit of input for an example or something like that. And you can engage with that person a little bit more. And if that person isn't engaging with you, of course, you can engage with the fictitious character on the back row, can't you?
That's exactly right. So it's important that you keep that in mind. You can't, you know, allow yourself to be swayed by how many people are there. One of the things that I do love about that whole evergreen webinar model is that if you schedule something to run three times a day, you know, morning, lunchtime, early afternoon or evening, then, you know, there might be zero people that show up. It doesn't matter. The computer software still plays it. Yep. So people can still log into it as if it was running and, you know, they're just running late. But it's out there doing its job, you know, okay, trying to find a market for you selling. And you can have people that opt in from your website to it. You can have people that opt in from YouTube to it, or from AdWords that do it, or from referral links. There's any number of ways that you can get people to come to those particular webinars.
Okay.
And as I said, if they're scheduled, that's great. If it's a one-off event, or if it's the first event and you're recording it, then, you know, whether anyone shows up or not, you should record it.
Okay.
You should do it like, you know, there's 300 people there. The best thing about it is that all of those people that do feel a bit nervous when they're getting up and having to talk in front of people, you don't get that feeling. Because you literally, it's just you and your computer screen and you're talking away and, you know, there is no pressure of an audience being there.
Yeah, indeed. Again, question here, I mean, why would you do one? What are the benefits of doing one? What are examples of how you can use a webinar for... Examples of how you can use a webinar and for what benefit?
If you've got a product or a service where you would normally stand up in front of a group of people and have to present your product, and that doesn't matter whether it's like you're going along to talk to a local association or, like I said, to a local Rotary Club, you know, where the whole benefit of one to many is a better solution for you. So let's say that your sales model says that for every 10 people that you talk to, one person will be interested enough in your product to go all the way through to purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of having to do 10 separate presentations to find that one, you can do a seminar / webinar where you talk to 10, 20, 30, 40, 100,000 people and, you know, still have that same ratio of people going through. And the other thing is, of course, that when you run a replay of it or you run a reminder off the back of the presentation, so you've done your call to action in your webinar and let's say 30 people purchased off it in that initial playthrough, then you do follow-up emails to those people who attended and you will also scoop up other people who didn't purchase on the day.
Yeah.
You know, people who wanted to go away and think about it or, you know, people who really just didn't have time to make the purchase. And because they had to scurry off and do something else, just needed that re-reminding of the benefits and then make the purchase again. So, you know, it saved you from having to do a whole heap of manual follow-up. It saved you from having to go out and do repeat calls or follow-up calls because a lot of this can be done in an automated way.
Mm-hmm.
When you set a webinar up, part of the process is to set up the emails that go out initially from the time that someone signs into it to start to bring them into the cycle because you want to start getting them thinking and in the right position mentally for them to be in a buying state of mind when you're making your presentation. And equally, you want the follow-up emails to go out to recapture those people or reinvigorate them if they didn't buy.
Mm-hmm.
And the software will allow you to do that.
Okay, you talk about software. What kind of software do you need? And is it expensive?
No, it's not particularly expensive. Look, I like GoToWebinar.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the industry standard. And they charge their model out with two separate charging factors. The first one is the number of people who are administering the actual webinar. So if you've only got one person talking, that's known as one seat. However, if there are two of you talking, that's two seats because you don't have to both be in the same spot. If you're in different places, then you need two seats.
Okay.
If you're both in the same spot, then you only need one seat. So that's one of their variables. And the other one is how many people that you're going to attend. One of the other benefits of running a webinar is the fact that you can say, there are only so many people that we can take to this webinar. So scarcity becomes your friend because people go, oh, I better do something about it. I'll put my yes in now because I don't want to miss out. And of course, part of the process is to keep reminding them when it's on and, you know, that it's coming up so that they actually attend and don't get, you know, right up to the event and go, oh, no, sod it. I've got to nip out to McDonald's and get that lunch and not, you know, not attend your webinar. However, it also gives you the opportunity for people who did do that to send them a reminder to say, hey, if you missed the live event today, we're going to replay the event at this time so you can watch the recorded version of it.
Yeah. Of course, if you want people to be attending in the first place and to encourage engagement with questions and add value to it that way, then I guess you might not want to advertise the fact that a replay will be made available.
That's a surprise. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't want to mislead people, but equally, you know, you want to try and get them to come along. So maybe if you do intend offering a replay version of it, then don't advertise that fact up front, I guess.
Don't let them off the hook, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. The other variable was how many people attend. So, you know, 250, 50, 500, 1,000.
Okay.
Depending on what you think the uptake is going to be, depends on what version of the webinar you purchase. And then, of course, there's the other software, which is the Evergreen webinar software, which, you know, basically you record the webinar and you plug it into there and you set, you know, how many times it plays. One that I use, we purchased the software on a one-time purchase and it's now there forever. Uh-huh. And we can have as many webinars into that as we like. I think it cost us about $500 from memory. It was probably, you know, $497. And we can have as many webinars as we like in there, playing as many times as we like. So every time that I record a presentation that I do, and, you know, when I go and do a presentation to live groups, I always record it. And then I give it to my editors and we turn that into a webinar as well.
Okay. What I guess is a relatively small investment for a business. You know, it's a few hundred dollars, I guess. And maybe depending how often you do them for the GoToWebinar, they'd be an ongoing. Do you pay per webinar that you record after that?
No. It's a one-off purchase. It was...
It's just a one-off?
Yeah, it was terrific. One-off. It was four... I mean, it might not be the same model now. I did purchase that software a little while ago. But, you know, $497 for the rest of my life and as many webinars as I want to stick into it.
Okay, so for a few hundred dollars, you're going to get a service that you can really add some value to your business and engage with clients. So it kind of makes sense from that point of view. What else do you need? Do you need any fancy equipment, any super duper high quality BBC-style recording equipment, microphones?
Not really, you know. What's the headphone microphone set that you use?
I have got... you would believe this? I've got a... probably about a $60 pair, a £40 pair of headphones, and a £20 microphone.
Yep, that'll do it.
Yep, so if you can hear this, apart from when something screwed up on me the other week, about five episodes ago, and the sound recording was a bit poor, which I don't think was the fault of the microphone, that was something else. This is the quality you can get for, I don't know, £50, $80, yeah. Something like that.
You don't need to be going out and buying yourself a Shure or a Rode mic or anything like that. I think the first one I ever recorded was on a Microsoft headphone and microphone set. Like, it was just all in one. It was like, you know, a chopper pilot type affair. And as long as the microphone's reasonable quality, and these days most of them are, you know, then that should be fine. And one of the things to remember is do a practice run.
Yeah.
Because you want to get your microphone position so that you're not, you know, saying the letter P and having the burst of air that comes out of your mouth hitting the microphone and causing what's known as a pop.
Yep.
So, you know, you get all that part adjusted when you do your practice run, and that'll also help, you know, just reassure you, you do know what you're talking about. And, you know, you're going to have a nice smooth run. And remember, this is not something that has to be word perfect. It's meant to be a presentation.
What if you're not a very confident kind of person? What if you run your business the way you do, and that doesn't necessarily involve putting yourself out there? What if you're not a confident speaker?
I think for the greater bulk of people, especially when you're doing your first one, that you should be doing an interview style presentation, where one person gets to be effectively the moderator asking the questions, and the other person gets to answer the questions. So if it's your webinar, you'd be, you know, the professor, the person answering the questions, while the other person is feeding you the questions that you want them to ask so that you can provide, you know, nice answers. And once you're in a position where you're confident about what you're talking about, and honestly, if you've done this a few times, your confidence level comes up very quickly. As we know from our own experience, when we first started this podcast, and podcasts aren't that different. What we're doing sitting here right now is not that different to doing a webinar presentation. Then, you know, David wasn't very confident about himself when we did the very first one. And by the time we got to number two, he was increasing in confidence. By the time we were at number three, seriously, you'd think he'd been doing it all of his life.
I'm after your ex-job as a radio DJ, David. So
yes. Yes, I can tell. So,
if you think about the way that we're actually recording this episode, you may have noticed David runs webinars. I haven't particularly done much in that field, so I'm asking the questions and, you know, interviewing David, if you like. He is the professor there with the knowledge, and so I'm going about this as if I am interested in setting up a webinar. Now, I have been on and listened to and taken part in many webinars. I'm very familiar with it, but I've never actually set one up and run one from scratch. But David's done a lot, so it's a good way to do things.
In fact, your business model would work for a webinar.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And now that you've got the confidence of doing the podcast, that would work out really well for you, especially that evergreen model where you're not having to go back and do it all the time, and you're not having to work on building the database up as well. So it's just another method of getting people into the business. And it's not just David's business, it's everyone's business.
What you could do as well, if you find out if there's anybody else in similar or related or your direct industry, your direct services, whatever you offer, find out if anybody else already does a webinar. And if they do, register, listen, find out what the tricks of the trade are, see what they do, see what you could do better. As I say, I've listened to several in my field, I know what they're all about. And as you register, as you listen, as you engage with it, you sort of you pick up on the how-to and wherefores of actually running your own webinar. Take all our advice here and mix it in with that, and you'll probably have a pretty winning formula for your own particular industry, I guess.
Yeah, it is a bit of a formula when it comes to doing webinars, the way that they run. Usually you try and set the scene first. Remember what we've said all along, it's about the story. Webinars are no different. It is about the story. You sort of set the situation up and say, well, here's where I was beforehand. Then you move forward and outline, the conflict that exists that you experienced in your life. Then you start introducing the solution to that conflict. And from there, you look at the results that you can achieve by doing, your solution this particular way. Then you get into the core of what it is that you're trying to sell to people. Then you go through a transition from that solution into how it would work for their business. And with a webinar, you can target specific business types. You don't have to be a generalist. You can be a niche. Mm-hmm. Then you ask the obvious question, you know, can I help solve that problem for you today? Some people like to put in a bit of an admission at that point as well, where they sort of say, I've got to tell you that this is the problem, and this problem might be that I can only sell 6 of these today. Mm-hmm. You know, that's good because it creates a bit of scarcity. Then you really reinforce your offer. You give them a few more examples of solutions, breaking it down into component lots. Offer a guarantee is always a good thing to get in towards the end, and then tell them what you want them to do. You know, yeah. How do I get you to buy this? This is the method.
Something I'm just going back to things I've observed on other webinars and so on is that even when there's a recording, you know, to help encourage the participation in the live recording is to make a sales offer that's available either during the recording and maybe as you build towards the sales element towards the end, if there's a sales element, as you build towards that element and you can say, you know, we've got a special offer for you for today. It's only available until the end of today, you know, so it might be available for another 6 hours or 9 hours after the webinar finishes, but it means that when the webinar goes up on replay the following day or you know, whenever after, that offer isn't there anymore. Or if there is an offer, perhaps it's a different offer that's maybe not quite so good as the one that was there for the guys that listened live. So again, there's ways, means and methods of getting what you want out of a webinar, I've noticed.
Absolutely. Scarcity is always your friend when you're selling anything, and you're entirely right. If you've got one offer in the live webinar, then you make sure that you edit in a different offer for the replay. Mm-hmm. And scarcity is still, you know, part of that offer. So it's just that scarcity is unlikely to be limited by time mm-hmm. on your second offer. It's more likely to be limited by number available for people attending this particular webinar.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, question for you, David. Mm-hmm. Can you watch a webinar as well as just listen to one? Do you have a visual as well as audio option?
Yeah, absolutely. I prefer that because I believe that if you keep people engaged visually, they're less likely to go and check their emails. They're less likely to, you know, disappear out of the webinar. So, you know, it's a bit like a high-tech PowerPoint presentation when I do it. I like to try and keep the screen moving as much as I can so that, you know, they don't have an image come up with some text underneath it and then have it sit there for the best part of 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just go, what else is there to look at? Perhaps I could do a bit of work while I'm listening to this because they're not visually engaging me.
Yeah.
And I also touched on something there too. Always use images and always use just dot points of text. Do not put great big screeds of text up. The only time I use big chunks of text is when I'm presenting live. And I try and engage them with big lumps of text that I want them to read. And while they're reading it, I'm giving them a shorthand version of it. I'm actually giving them the sound bites that I want them to take away so that, you know, it's really easy for them to remember a greater chunk of information mm-hmm. by giving them, you know, little 8-word sound bites that they can summarize those pieces of information into their brain with.
Okay. Talking of keeping people engaged and avoiding doing other stuff, how long should a good webinar last for?
I prefer it if they run between about 40 minutes and certainly no more than an hour, because if you think you're getting someone in to do a lunchtime version of it, then most people have only got an hour for lunch and you don't want to scoop up their whole hour because you've also got to give time for people who are running a little bit late to the webinar. So you never, if you say you're starting at 12 or 12:05, mm-hmm. then you know, you don't sort of come up at 12:05 and 1 second and go. There's always a bit of preamble to try and get the audience to settle and then move into it. So I think 40 minutes is ideal, with keeping in mind that you can go through to the hour to answer questions, especially in a live version of it. And speaking of questions, if you are doing one that is pre-recorded, don't be afraid to capture questions from somewhere else and drop them in as audio questions into your webinar. If you've had, you know, when you've been doing normal presentations to people, effectively a frequently asked question, then get someone to pre-record it for you and play it back and drop it into the webinar as a question, because the reason that it's a frequently asked question is they're the questions that people frequently ask. And your audience will be sitting out there watching the webinar and thinking those questions. So answer them.
Yep.
You know, that's just part of good sales technique.
Yeah, indeed. Do webinars apply across the board, do you reckon? You know, if you sell products, if you sell services, if whatever kind of business you are, is there anything you would particularly recommend it for? Is there anything you particularly recommend it not for or not recommend it for?
You know, webinars work for both products and services. However, you're not going to sell a car off a webinar, but you might sell paint protection or leather protection on a webinar, especially if people haven't purchased at the point of sale.
Right, okay.
You know, you want to follow them up 6 months later and have them attend a presentation where you can reinforce to them why paint protection is a great thing. If you're selling websites, for example, then a webinar is a great way to sell websites because it's all about benefit, solution, cost.
Yep.
You know, what's the benefit of doing it? What's your solution for achieving it? What's it going to cost? How are you making it? All of that nice and easy for me.
Yeah.
Just as I said, just like presenting for a seminar, you do need to have a presentation though. You can't just go and think, well, I'm pretty snappy on my feet. I am just going to wing 40 minutes of talking to people and let them look at one picture of, you know, my head.
Yeah, you're going to waste everybody's time on that and you'll end up with a useless hour or whatever of information that can't really be used, I guess. It's just a bit of a waste of time for a lot of people if you do that. I've certainly seen one or two like that. I've seen some excellent ones. Most of the ones that I've engaged with and or viewed have been in the software world because that's a lot of what I do, and I've seen some excellent examples. So, you know, products and services, things like even product training, you know, and also people using the webinar as a kind of bonus material for encouraging people to buy the product as well. You know, you can use it as an additional follow-on and giving people a bigger picture so that, you know, you, to cover stuff we've done in previous episodes, you become the go-to guy again. All sorts of reasons for using a webinar, I've noticed. Adding to authority, you know, if somebody's there with a really good 45-minute webinar that involves other people's engagement and stuff, that is another great example of how to use a webinar effectively. If you're going to run a live webinar, here's probably my final question, actually, David. If you're going to run a live webinar and you want to get people to come along to it, because that's the idea after all, you want them to register and you want them to turn up, how do you get the word out? How do you get people coming along to it?
Well, as always, where are your buyers in their biggest numbers? Because it's an online thing, you would look at things like AdWords, for example. If you are selling paint protection, as we just mentioned, then why would you not run your webinar ads against car detailing searches? You know, it's a very, very easy one. But that's, once again, that's a very localized product.
Mm-hmm.
That's not one where you're going to try and pull in people from all over the world because, you know, how are they going to get the car to you or how are you going to get the product to them and have it installed the right way? YouTube, also a great place. But, you know, where are your customers in their biggest numbers? If they're listening to the radio station in a particular area, then run radio for it.
Yep.
Television, I don't know that I would do even if they were there in the biggest numbers, because then you've really got to craft a tight message that isn't going to make it look like some, you know, ride into town snake oil salesman. And that's really important. Direct mail, contacting groups and associations where the people that you're looking for are there in big numbers. So accounting companies, law firms, you know, if you're selling a product that's real estate related, you would approach local real estate agents.
Mm-hmm.
And social groups as well. You know, if your target audience is, for example, women who are more than 65 years of age, why would you not contact the local Senior Citizens Association and run a special webinar just for them?
Yep.
You know, you don't have to go and do the seminar. Your biggest battle there would be is convincing them that a webinar is a real thing.
Yeah, indeed. There's all sorts of benefits to the webinar. I mean, you can, for example, that demographic you just mentioned, they don't necessarily then have to drive across town, spend half an hour to an hour driving somewhere to pitch up to find out it's maybe what they want, or maybe, you know, let's face it, maybe for some of them not quite what they want, to face an hour's drive home as well. So instead of spending 3 hours, they can register, they can tune in, they can engage for the following 45 minutes to an hour, whatever.
Yep.
And it's a lot more convenient for the audience. There's all sorts of pluses, you know, and it's selling those benefits, really. And it doesn't have to be a sales pitch, does it?
No, it can be an information piece. It can be about, as you said, building authority.
Yeah, so all sorts of good things for it. Anything else you want to cover on this before we probably call it a wrap?
No, well, actually, just to reinforce that example of senior SIDS, you know, if you're a retirement village, this is a great one because you can have a webinar that is for the children of the senior citizens, and you can have a supplementary webinar that is for the parents of the children, the senior citizens themselves, who are thinking of going into retirement villages for, you know, the rest of their days. So you would have to have two separate presentations for each of those. If it's evergreen, then they're just out there rolling around telling your story over and over again. And you just, as part of your sales funnel, you send people to that to help them pre-qualify themselves into, you know, your particular product.
Yeah. So, for example, you're talking about pre-qualifying and stuff. If you run something like AdWords or wherever you get your message out, directing people to register for a webinar, you would probably send them to a web page, something like, you know, mywebsite.com/register or webinar register or whatever. And that web page is going to spell out the benefits of attending the webinar, anything special about why they should particularly engage and join in the live version of it.
What they'll get out of attending the webinar. You know, what's the benefit? And start the story. You know, these things are about story arcs. Yeah. So you're trying to create an arc from the beginning all the way through to the end. So you need to start the story arc.
So you're going to send people to what's called a landing page, which is the page that says, we're doing this webinar, this is what it's about, this is why you ought to be in it, these are the benefits, da-di-da-di-da, sign here, email address and a name, and then bang, they're registered. They'll get an automatic follow-up email from the GoToWebinar meeting people that says, thanks for registering, da-di-da, you know, just to confirm, the time of the webinar is 1 p.m. or 12 p.m. or whatever on Saturday, the XYZ of April, May, June, whatever. Don't forget to turn up, etc., etc. They'll give you a login detail, a link to it.
Absolutely. Now, you can collect more information if you want, but as I said in one of my weekly video emails that I sent out the other day, I was talking about data collection. Don't collect what you don't need. The more questions you ask people to give you information on, the less likely they are to complete giving you all of the information.
Yep, indeed. Okay.
But if you do genuinely need a phone number to follow them up, then ask for that number.
Cool. David, we've had a good episode. I think we've covered a lot of ground there. Good topic. Hopefully people find it useful. Hopefully some of you who have maybe been aware of webinars and like either engaged with one already or listened to some might now think about doing one yourself. You know, I am. It's been on my list of things to consider actually pulling my finger out, getting stuck into. I've got some ideas for what I want to do it about and why I want to do them. Probably be a little while away for me, a few weeks before I do it, but I'm almost certainly going to be doing one now. This has prompted it quite nicely. I hope you found it useful. If you, you know, maybe haven't thought about webinars before, maybe this has opened your eyes as to a great way to engage with lots of people. I've seen it work very effectively. I know David has, actually, personally, for his own stuff. So, any questions? You know where to find us. It's www.davidversusdavid.com. It's facebook.com/David versus David. If you'd like to leave us any questions there, any comments, fantastic. And of course, if you'd like to say what a wonderful show you think this is, go and visit iTunes and leave us a 5-star review that's glowing and full of praise. We'd love it. David, anything else to add to that?
No, I reckon that's it. It's almost time for me to be tucked into beddy by, so I've got to get the squirrels away and the bunnies back into their cages. So
I'm worried about your wildlife.
Time to go.
Good grief. Okie dokie, mate. So, listeners from us, it's goodbye from me up here in the UK.
And it's goodbye from me here in paradise. Take care, everybody. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.